This morning's Hebrew reading comes from the book of Psalms, selections from Psalm 139. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. From heaven, you discern my thoughts. Before I even speak a word, you know what I will say. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb out of human sight. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. Nothing about me is hidden from you. Look deep into my soul, God, and see what is on my heart. Don't let me follow evil ways, but lead me in your way, which time has proven true. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Our second scripture reading, our gospel reading, comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus is preaching to a crowd here, and he says, "Be especially careful when you are trying to be good, so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure, play actors, I call them, treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it, quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way that your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God to pray, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame, do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play in front of God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Creator you're dealing with, the one who knows better than you what you need. With a God like this, loving you, you can pray very simply, like this. Our Creator in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You are in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes." Will you pray with me? I'd like to add in one prayer request that came in on Facebook that we missed, which is from Angela Elias's brother Nathan, for his back and for his mom, Linda, and for him to get into a group home in the Boston area, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Raise your hand if you are an expert in prayer. Anyone? You know, you feel like your prayer life is just amazing and juicy and vibrant all the time? No? Okay, yeah, me neither. As with so much in life, it's such a temptation to compare our prayer lives, our spiritual lives, to those around us and conclude that we are falling short. We listen to someone pray eloquently out loud, or we see someone post about how they read the Bible or meditate every day, and we just feel like we're worlds away from having that kind of connection with God. And yet, the first thing that Jesus does in this morning scripture, as translated in the Message version, which I read, is warn us against play-acting, ours and others. What we see in public, and especially what we see on highly curated and filtered social media, isn't the real story, Jesus reminds us. So whether we're doing a good deed or we're praying to God, don't bother trying to keep up with the spiritual Joneses, because you'll either run yourself into the ground or you'll turn yourself into what Texans refer to as all hat and no cattle, and the Scottish colorfully call aw fur coat and nay knickers. The second instruction that Jesus gives us for praying is to show up genuinely before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. For many of us, this is the biggest thing that gets in the way of a robust, thriving prayer life, or sometimes any prayer life at all. We think that our concerns are too little for God to care about, or we think that we're being selfish, asking God for what we need when someone else might have it much worse. We feel guilty about something we've done or ashamed of the kind of person that we believe we are. We're angry, and we think it's wrong to direct that anger at God, or maybe we just don't even want to talk to God because we're so angry. We're afraid of the pain that we might have to confront if we are honest about our feelings. Or we can't imagine God seeing our full selves, all the bits we're not proud of and that we bury deep down inside. We can't imagine God seeing that and actually still loving us. I don't think I'm the only person who's been in several of those places before. But Jesus is clear. Just like with our closest, most life-giving relationships, if we can't be real, if we can't be our real selves with God, then our relationship and our prayers will always feel stunted and superficial and far from satisfying. I feel like a chore we have to check off instead of something life-giving that keeps us going day to day. The other week, I had offered to help someone with something, which usually gives me a lot of joy, and I know, you know, what I can say yes to out of joy and what I can say, nope, I can't do that this week, or I can't do that this time. And I had said yes to this out of a place of feeling good about that. But then, you know, the time came, and the whole time that I was helping this person, I kept thinking about how I would rather be at home on my couch reading my current murder mystery, which had just gotten to a really juicy cliffhanger. And afterwards I thought, man, what is wrong with you? You offered to do this. This was not a big deal for you or a lot of time out of your day, but it was really important to the person you were helping. And the least you could do is give your attention to it and a good attitude to it for an hour or two, instead of internally complaining the whole time. Has anyone else ever been in that position? Okay, good, glad to know I'm not alone. And so I started to feel pretty down on myself, like, oh, you should have been a better sport about this. After all, I had offered to help of my own free will, and also, I'm a pastor, and pastors are not supposed to be so internally whiny about helping others. It made me feel kind of out of line with the person that I like to think of myself as being, and I certainly didn't want to admit it to God. Because who wants to tell God they've been petty and selfish and would rather be at home reading a book than helping someone? So I kept it to myself, and I just kind of felt ill at ease about it all day. Have you ever had a moment like that where you've done something that's kind of out of character or just not particularly good, and it just sort of low-key eats away at you for the rest of the day? Yeah. So I figured I was just going to live with my own self-censure and what I imagined would probably be God's censure too. And just sort of wait for it to wear off, hopefully. But that night, I sat down to do my nightly examine. And I should say, actually, semi-nightly, because I'm no prayer expert either. And some days, I go to write the date in my examine journal, because there's one page for every day. And I realize that it's been a week since I've written in it, when I could have sworn it was just 2 days ago that I last prayed there. But luckily, a regular-ish prayer practice is better than no prayer practice. And for me, it's actually much better than a perfect prayer practice where I feel like I failed if I miss a day. So there's a tip. If you're the kind of person who needs to get it all right or nothing, try just giving yourself a little freedom to skip a day here and there. So I sat down to do my exam, a prayer practice where I go over my day with God, and I notice where I felt God's presence and where I struggled to feel it, and then I listen for what God might be saying to me through both of those things. And even though I hadn't wanted to admit my shortcoming to God, I wrote it down as a place where I had struggled to feel God's presence. Something about writing it down, knowing that God's kind of like reading over my shoulder, but I don't have to quite say it directly to God, sometimes that helps. And as I wrote it down, I remembered something that my spiritual director had told me, that when I want to play hooky from my commitments, or I don't feel particularly excited about helping someone else, it's not a sign that I'm a bad person. It's a sign that I'm overwhelmed. And in retrospect, it had been an overwhelming week. Lots of preschooler feelings, a kid who was sick, work deadlines, some stress in our family life. And suddenly, a weight lifted. A little wall that I had built came down, and it was like I could feel God's presence rushing back in, and not frowning or ready to judge me, but with a smile on God's face that I knew had been there all along as God waited patiently for me to realize this is not that big of a deal, and I could be honest about it with God. Maybe the reason that you struggle to show up honestly before God in prayer feels much bigger than just not being a particularly nice person on a particular day. Maybe it's something you believe is unforgivable, or a character flaw that looms a lot larger than occasionally resenting your fellow human beings. Or maybe, like Letitia Ochoa Adams shared on Wednesday night, maybe it's an anger for an unjust, irreversible tragedy, an anger at God that doesn't seem like it will ever go away. But I promise you that the premise is the same. If we can be honest with God about our faults and our flaws and our feelings, if we can honestly name our hopes and dreams, if we can, as we talked about with our young people, share the silly stuff and the frustrated stuff and everything that's in between, then the walls come down, even when it's something, especially when it's something really big. And we will feel God with us. In fact, in my experience, being completely honest in prayer is the surest way to experience God's presence, no matter what we think stands in our way. And here's another tip. You could even say, God, I want to be honest with you about this, but I just can't yet. I'll get back to you. That counts. If you're not ready to talk about it yet, right? Because here's the truth. We might want to hide away from God. We might not feel worthy to be in God's presence or worth God's time of day. We might want to keep our mistakes and our missteps to ourselves. But God sees it all anyway. And is just waiting for us to be ready. God sees us, as the psalmist says, you know me inside out. You know every bone in my body. Like an open book, you watched me from conception to birth. Nothing about me is hidden from you. And not in an X-ray kind of way to judge whether we are worthy, but because being seen, being fully seen and still loved, heals us and frees us. As Eugene Peterson captured Jesus' words in the Message translation we read this morning, with a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. You can ask for 3 square meals a day. You can ask for forgiveness. You can ask for being kept out of harm's way. You can ask for a moment to celebrate God's goodness in your life. You can pray very simply, and you can pray very honestly. You don't have to show off. All you have to do is show up. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, as you go out into this world and out into your week, or as you stay, hopefully, for annual meeting and then go out into your world and out into your week, I want to lift up one phrase from the scripture that we heard this morning, which is, with a God like that loving you, imagine what's possible. With a God like that loving you, in the places where you are afraid to try out a new idea or a new dream, with a God like that loving you, in the places where you're afraid that you're going to be rejected, especially if you reach out and try to reconcile a relationship, with a God like that loving you, in the places where you are feeling alone or abandoned and you just need some healing and some companionship, with a God like that loving you, in those places where you're feeling the call to stand up for justice or peace, but you're a little afraid or you're not sure how to do it, with a God like that loving you, you can do anything. And again, you don't have to show off, you only have to show up. And God will help you to do the rest. Go in peace.